So, apparently mustard much better than ketchup. And, you know, that Keenum fellow looked pretty good in that hideous yellow. Happy weekend, everybody. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. Everybody's in a great mood. It's been a great beer day.
It's getting better.
Yeah, it is getting much better.
Listen, it's Fred's birthday. Happy birthday to the Falcon. This is number 72.
Stop.
You're looking.
It's 51, which I'm embarrassed enough by. You don't need to make it worse than it is.
John, you remember when we used to tease Fred because we'd call him 50 when he was like 48 and he hated it. Meanwhile, now you wish you were 50, right?
Because now
you're going to look back longingly and go, you're only a year or two from me saying, you're a year, maybe two from me saying, you're in your mid-50s, bro.
Exactly.
Because once you hit 53, that's your mid-50s.
I know. And believe me, I'm prepared for that because, yeah. You know what? I don't care. I feel the same way I did yesterday. So,
okay.
You know, I said that when I went from 49 to 50.
We are spoiled. Good news.
Yes.
No Label, Gus from No Label came by with a little birthday love for you.
Yeah.
I've got good news for beer on both ends because Gus came by and he brought us some stuff, including the Select Barrel Perpetual Peace and the Base Perpetual Peace, which you can find around town still, a little bit of it. You might want to hurry. They released a bunch of single hop stuff as well, or called Hop Solo is what it's called. They released today, so they've got some great stuff going. So thanks to him, Gus always takes care of us.
Yeah,
Gus is a good dude.
Thanks a lot, Gus. I really appreciate it. Ran into him this morning when we were at Specs for the release, and I would say I know they have a few left over at the HEB on San Felipe.
Well, there you
go.
So
and check your HEBs, but it is fantastic stuff, man. They're doing some great things over there.
I also, another, it's nice when people in high places listen to the show, and Dave is the head brewer over at Whole Foods Brewing right here in the Whole Foods off Post Oak, and I swung by there today because he wanted to drop, everyone wants to help us have Beer Fridays now.
Right, which
so, like,
I love.
We've got stores and brewers and breweries lining up to put alcohol in our bodies, which means we've made it. This is it. This is what we worked for all these years, Fred, was to get to a spot where people were like, no, drink our alcohol on this day. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, this is the dream come true. We finally hit the big time, I think, with this day. And, but we'll have that as well today, the Whole Foods Market. They've got Ivan's Revenge, and they've got a bunch of variants of it right now. They've at the brewery there. They've got the base. Ivan's Revenge is a milk stout.
Yeah.
They've also got they've got the base. They've got a coffee version, a vanilla version, and what we've got today is the coconut and cocoa version, so like a German chocolate version. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And because I know Jong is more of an IPA guy, they have a Simcoe Rye IPA. I got some of that as well. So it's going to be a great day here, Fred.
No, it's already been a great day, and what's funny about it is, you and I, We're at Specs this morning to get a bunch of stuff. There are a lot of good releases today. We're in line, and we look up, and who do we see? Zhong Li.
Yeah. Zhong was there.
Yeah. So I've loaded up on just about everything I could possibly need.
I was not expecting to see Zhong there.
No, no.
That was a surprise.
I was a little worried because the only reason I went was to help you get some extras. I wasn't going to buy anything. And then I wanted the perpetual piece, but
take that to Aaron. Aaron has not had some. Yeah,
yeah. Let Aaron and Tyler have a little bit of that. But
Tyler's got his own bottle. He doesn't need it.
No, he doesn't have one of those.
I thought you.
No. That had to go to somebody else. No,
oh, sorry.
That went to somebody else, namely me. But well, we'll start off with the day did not start off well. 51 was also almost my death day.
I saw that.
My goodness. I'm out walking the dog this morning, like 5:30, like I always am. And to be fair, it was kind of stupid. I'm wearing all black, and it's still dark.
Which is typical.
But, you know, I just threw on a hoodie and some gym pants and taking the dog out. And I'm crossing the street, and I see cars coming. The light's green, and the walk light's there. So I'm crossing the street, and there's this one guy in a truck who's just going way faster than everybody else and has a red light and looks like he has no interest in stopping. Okay. So I start to speed up a little bit, and then I realize I need to run because this guy's going to hit me. And he came within about 6 inches of me, and I look up, and I'm going to yell at him, and he's just got his phone in his face, and he's not even looking. And he's so lucky that, well, I mean, if he'd have killed me, that would have been okay. You guys wouldn't have minded that. But it's just so lucky that somebody else wasn't going the other way.
I didn't. Thank God your dog wasn't hurt.
Well, the dog was out in front of me. She's smart. She knows to get the hell off to the side. But yeah, I made sure she took off. But, yeah, and I'm like, oh, how much would that suck to get whacked before I've even had a chance to enjoy it? The fact that I made it this far.
That would have been rough.
Yeah.
And but listen, man, you should have at least you should have taken one for the team, stuck a leg out, let him whack that leg, and then you get a little settlement out of that deal.
I don't need a settlement, man. I need beer.
Plus, that gets you out of running.
Well, I want to run tomorrow, though. I'm excited about this.
Would you rather run tomorrow or have...
I'd rather sit here and drink all night.
Have $250,000.
I'd rather have $250,000, but...
Boom. Done.
Yeah, take the lawyer fees out of it and the taxes and everything else. It's not going to be that much.
All right. Yeah, whatever, man.
But then I got to go through all the... what if it does serious damage?
No, you just...
What if it removes a leg?
I mean,
what if I got to become Oscar Pistorius and then I have to shoot my wife?
You run faster.
No, I don't want to have to do that.
You run faster.
Oh, well. But I was very lucky. And it's, I'll just say, for those of you driving downtown in the mornings, I know there's a lot of construction and people can't really see. But, man, I keep seeing wrecks every single morning with people running lights down there. And I kind of get it because you're looking at the lights ahead. In this case, though, the next block was red and the block after that was red. So this was just a guy not paying attention. So please be careful down there because, there was a stretch last week. Every single morning I saw a wreck. And it's all in that same area over by St. Joseph's Hospital and Toyota Center. But anyway, I survived. And then we got beer, and it's been a great day. And unfortunately, I'm just going to have one here, maybe two.
Yeah, you'll have a little.
Yeah, two beers aren't going to kill me.
You're just not going to party, you know?
No. And I will tomorrow after I survive this thing. But, yeah, that's the one thing I'm proud of as an old man. When I turned 50, I decided I was going to try to make it to a 10K. I did that. Now my next goal at 51 is I'm going to run a half marathon, which I'm doing in February.
Okay.
But this is my first. This will be my first step towards that because it's a 12K, and I've never run this far in my life. So it's like 7.5 miles. And I know for people who run and who are young and all that stuff, that doesn't mean anything. But I've never been a runner anyway. I'm just, play basketball and football and things like that. So this is, it's kind of a logical step, but that's my goal for this year. Run a half marathon, and then we'll see. I don't think I'm going to be one of those people that wants to run a marathon at 52, but a half marathon would be pretty cool. So that's my goal for this year.
All right.
So I'm going to keep drinking.
I wish you luck.
I'm going to keep drinking, keep having fun, but I'm also going to try to stay healthy while I'm doing it because I'd like to make it to 55. That's my next goal.
Right.
Just try to make it to 55, which if I keep walking downtown may or may not happen.
It could happen, though.
Yeah.
You could get there.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm trying. Anyway, thanks again to Gus for bringing this in, man. This is great stuff. Love their beers. And my goodness, this Perpetual Peace Select is something. It is something.
I'm letting mine open up a little bit. Letting it breathe.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to your support stuff when we come back. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Lamont was saying all these people giving y'all free alcohol and y'all were bitching about signing a few cards and gave us the shame, and you responded very well. Would have signed the cards for the people who give us booze. Although technically, I guess we get that because of what we do. So there's that. We got the best jobs in the world, man. TJS, almost finished season two of Leftovers and still have no bleeping idea where it's going. Aliens, religious, or just vanish? They never tell you what happened to the people.
No, you're never going to find out.
But it does tie up the season. It all makes sense, I think. I mean, they kind of bring it all together. All right, I guess let's we're on my Case Keenum calls. That's what everybody was
they're coming.
Tweeting us last night.
They gotta be coming.
Hey, you're welcome to call. I'll listen. He was terrific last night. In fact, he was .03 away from a perfect passer rating.
Yeah.
Which
pretty
solid.
What happened, and this is you and I were talking about this morning. When you watch the Rams, and if you just look at the Rams' stat lines, it's very unimpressive what they do on offense.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, they don't run for a lot of yards. They don't pass for a lot of yards. They're not a good offensive team in general. But Todd Gurley, what he did earlier in this season was so freakish and alarming to teams that they just said, you know what? We're going to load up eight guys in the box on every play, and we're going to say, we'll take away Todd Gurley, and you have to find another way to beat us. And last night was a perfect example, and kudos to – I mean, listen, Case Keenum didn't see – he didn't see a receiver double covered.
Nope.
He didn't see – I mean, it was one-on-one.
And he had time to pass, and guess what?
Yeah, he had one-on-one. He had extra blockers in. He had everything you could need to be successful – but kudos to him, he was successful. Because a lot of the times, I mean, you're set up like that, and it's not always great. But last night, he took advantage of what the Bucks gave him, and looked really good. And they almost kind of gave it away, but it seemed like the Bucks weren't willing to take it.
Yeah,
that was just a disastrous performance down the stretch, but. It's a good win for Case, good win for the Rams. Not that it means anything at this point.
No,
good win.
No, but I mean, it was the only game on. So,
yeah.
14 of 17 for 234, two touchdowns, no picks. His total QBR was 93 out of 100.
Yeah.
And his rating was 158 out of a possible 158.3. And, you know, you can't ask for a guy to play better than that.
His game was similar to what Matt Hasselbeck did to what Matt Hasselbeck did to the Bucks team a little while ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
4 weeks ago.
Very efficient, and he didn't have to throw much in the second half. Yeah, didn't turn the ball over at all, got a couple big plays, and then they were able to just sort of sit back and win the game. But I found it interesting because I wanted to go through quarterbacks who'd had a perfect rating in a game to kind of see, you know, who had done it. Would you like to hear the last few? You tell me. Better than Case Keenum?
Okay.
Or not better than Case Keenum?
Or the same.
Yeah. Most recently, against the New Orleans Saints, Kirk Cousins. 20 of 25, 324, four touchdowns. That did come against the Saints.
Yeah, it hardly counts. But, I mean, like, in general, is Kirk Cousins better than
Probably,
Case Keenum?
Probably, yeah. Number 60, or the most recently before that, you might remember this game. He was 18 of 19 for 282 yards and four touchdowns, most of it in the first half. Ryan Tannehill against the Houston Texans.
Oh, my. Yeah, better than Case Keenum.
Okay. Marcus Mariota against these same Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 13 of 16, 209, four touchdowns in his first career start.
That was a good game.
All right, here's one where we're starting to get a little bit of, I don't know.
Okay.
20 of 25, 358, three touchdowns. Geno Smith versus the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh. I mean, to me, those guys are in the same category.
Yeah. Wait, I mean, these are not the superstars of the league, by the way, that are doing this.
No, of course not.
Alex Smith did it in 2013 against
the
Raiders.
The superstars of the league, you know, those guys are facing linebackers dropping into coverage on every play. I mean, it's a landmine.
Everyone we mentioned.
Landmine field out there.
These are kind of mid-level quarterbacks. Or, you know, Mariota, obviously, we don't know yet. But Alex Smith, 17 of 20, 287, 5 touchdowns against the Raiders. Most of these guys aren't throwing the ball a lot, actually, which is another reason why I think that helps. In fact, 25 attempts is the most so far. Until you get to November 3rd, 2013, Nick Foles, 22 of 28, 406, 7 touchdowns, and a 49-20 win over the Raiders.
Good for him.
Yeah, that was the year he was 27-2, though.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, how about this one? Robert Griffin III.
Bob G3, huh?
Bob G3, 14 of 15, 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on November 18th, 2012. Now we start getting into some names you might be familiar with. The guys before that were pretty good. Tom Brady.
Oh, he's solid.
Thanksgiving Day against the Lions, 21 of 27, 341, 4 touchdowns.
What year was that?
2010. In 2009, against the New England Patriots, Drew Brees, 18 of 23, 371, 5 TDs.
Okay.
2009, October 11th, the Giants against the Raiders, Eli Manning. However, asterisks by this one, 8 of 10 for 173 and 2 touchdowns, but left the game before halftime. But he still gets credit for a perfect rating. Then you got to go back to 2008, Kurt Warner against the Dolphins. 2007, Ben Roethlisberger. 2007, Ben Roethlisberger. 2007, Tom Brady. So there's a stretch there where, but it's funny because since Tom Brady in 2010, the names that have done it are Bob Griffin, Nick Foles, Alex Smith, Geno Smith, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, and Kirk Cousins.
Surprising list.
Well,
not as surprising as our list of quarterbacks that are going to be in the playoffs, but a surprising
right.
list nonetheless.
Yeah, but I think it says a little bit about guys are capable of big games at times. It doesn't mean that they're going to be great quarterbacks. And in cases, instance, I just think he's so small, he's going to get hurt. And I've always said his upside is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Although what Ryan Fitzpatrick has turned into, that might be a bit much too. But that stretch basically from 2007 through 2010, the worst name. Well, I'll go back to 2004. Peyton Manning did it. Roethlisberger's done it 3 times. The worst name on that list from 2004 to 2009, it's either Donovan McNabb or Eli Manning.
Yeah.
So that's you know, those were really good quarterbacks doing it. Now, like I said, that's your group. But I don't want to take anything away from the kid last night because I thought he was terrific. But I also just kind of wanted to put a little bit of perspective. So it says, why did Gurley receive AP comparisons? He's not as fast, strong, nor does he have the agility as AP. Nowhere near the caliber of AP. I would just say I think he's – you also have to keep in mind he's still – well, he's still developing. I think he has all those skills.
I think he's also, I mean, he's coming off of a major injury, and I don't think this is the best we're ever going to see of him.
No, no. Now, the question is he going to be able to stay healthy because he's had injury problems,
right.
Both in college and well, I mean, he came into the pros with injury problems. But, boy, I sure see a lot. Not that he's going to become that, but I sure see a lot of him there. I mean, last night.
Is there a running back in the league you'd rather have on your team?
Other than AP? No.
I mean, thinking 5 years down the road. I mean,
running backs don't last 5 years, though. So
Todd Gurley's at the age where he can last 5 years.
Yeah, if he stays healthy,
you know?
Which, you know, we'll see. If you told me going into next season I could have one of the two, depends on my team, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
If I have a team that's close to a playoff team.
Well, hey, no, I'm not even trying to argue that Todd Gurley's better than Adrian Peterson today, but if we did like a mock draft or a redraft of all the teams, I'm guessing Todd Gurley's the first running back off the board.
That would be interesting.
For the foreseeable future, he's going to be, that's the guy. That's the man.
I would think so. I think he's, But I do see a lot of similarities, and I disagree respectfully with the texter because I think and you look at last night and 21 carries and not a ton of yards, but I know that AP has also run into this where they've got 8-9 guys in the box just to stop him, and he's also had games like this.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's – I like the kid, though. Jones says Le'Veon Bell over Gurley easily. Don't forget.
No, thanks.
I love him, but you know what? And Le'Veon, by the way.
This isn't me crapping on Le'Veon Bell either. That dude's a beast.
Well, I thought last year he should have gotten more love for the MVP.
Right, but also remember that Le'Veon Bell plays on a team that has Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. I mean, he plays in the middle of one of the best offense. That's why it's hard for me even to compare Le'Veon and Adrian Peterson, because Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley are – they're essentially their team's offenses. They're it. You know, if those guys aren't good – their team's typically not good,
and I would,
or those are the, that's what you game plan for when you play right. When you play the Vikings or the Rams. You game plan to stop the run or try to stop it.
And I would just say, look how well D'Angelo Williams has done in his absence, and I think a lot of that is that for one thing, the Steelers system is so good because you can't focus on the running back. If you do, Roethlisberger and Brown and all those guys are going to eat you alive. That's no knock on Le'Veon Bell. I think he's fantastic, and I honestly think he should have gotten a lot more MVP consideration last year. But it's the old baseball wins above replacement thing. And how much do they really lose with D'Angelo Williams in there?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll grab your phone calls when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Guess what we're doing? We're auctioning off 4 club-level tickets for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And it started at 9 a.m. all day, up until 7 o'clock, you can call the station, place your bid for the tickets, see the Cougars take on the Florida State Seminoles in Atlanta. The highest bid at 7 o'clock buys the tickets. All the funds will be donated to benefit Toys for Tots. Do we have a number yet? These are great tickets, by the way. $250 a piece. So 4 tickets worth $1,000, and you get to go see the Cougars beat the living tar out of the Seminoles.
We are going to start at $500.
Okay.
Oh, haven't done anything all day?
There's a couple of people that called in, but one of them dropped off, who was going to make a bid, but dropped off. Okay. But no, we haven't.
Well, you know what? Nobody listens to those other guys anyway. Right. So, you know, the Blitzers will pay for it. So.
All right. So, well, we're starting it off at half the asking price.
Yes.
So.
Exactly.
And the benefits go to Toys for Tots.
That's right.
Yeah.
So support the Tots.
Exactly. Support your Tots.
By the way, aren't these kids got to all have toys by now? I mean, everybody's giving toys to Tots. I mean, right?
Oh, yeah. We had a small percentage today that we have here in the building, and then we're going to ship them off to the Marines. But we got it all out, took a picture, and it's on our ESPN Facebook page.
I saw the promo folks taking those out, and there were a lot of toys. But you can always do more. And imagine what... Oh, I don't know, $1,200 would do, $1,300. How many tots would be happy on Christmas? So anyway, bidding's open. All you have to do is call 713-780-3776. And if you're already going, I can almost promise you these tickets are better than what you have. So I ought to bid on these myself. If I could get a damn flight that would get me back in time, I would do it. All right, let's grab a couple phone calls. Tyler, you get to lead it off today. What's up, Tyler?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
We're doing sports, man. What's up?
Happy birthday, Fred.
Thanks,
I was just calling in. The Tampa Bay defense, not good at all. I mean, Case Keenum, I'm a Case Keenum guy. You know, I like him a lot, but I'm realistic. Ryan Mallett's second game of the season, I think it was. I mean, he didn't even look very bad, you know? He had a pretty decent game.
Well, listen, we're not trying to say that Case Keenum was a world beater. We're just saying that he went out there and did a respectable job. I mean,
I love the kid as a college quarterback. I always will. And, you know, I like that he's having some success in the NFL. And you're right. The Bucs defense is not good, and especially last night. But they geared up to stop Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And that opened up some things. And guess what? He hit some wide open guys. Not everybody does that. Hey, we've seen Brian Hoyer miss open guys. You see, yeah, and I mean, Case played his best game as a pro last night. So I'm not going to dog him for that, but there's a reason I kind of went through that list of guys who had perfect.
Yeah. You know, listen, the Bucs are the second worst team defensively in the NFC behind the Saints, who we all know are historically terrible. But, I mean, if Case had played like crap, we would have been like, oh, God, he sucked even against this terrible defense. But instead, he played well.
No, he played well.
He played the way you should play when you play the Bucs.
And I'll give him some credit that I think he's a better player than he was 2 years ago. And is he a long-term answer, though? No, because, frankly, I don't see any way he can stay healthy over a full season. It's the same complaint I have about Johnny Manziel. He's just not big enough, and he's going to get hit a lot. And we saw that when he got the concussion and wound up throwing the pick at the end of the game. As long as you protect him, he can be an effective quarterback for you, but he's great as a backup because he can come in and win a game or two. If you have him as your starter, you're really taking a big chance
great.
There. Yeah. Buddy and I are flying privately to Georgia for the Cougs game. Open seat available for the Falcon.
I know.
I got to get back by the next morning is the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody brought up, and the receivers caught the ball. Rams wide receivers usually drop them. That's true.
That is true.
They don't drop them the way Texans receivers drop them, but yeah. Let's try Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, just had a quick counter to the Le'Veon Bell comment. As a Steelers fan, you know, definitely don't complain that Bell has the offense like with Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, but I just wanted to point out an example this year when the Steelers were playing in San Diego, and they didn't have the benefits of Ben Roethlisberger when you had your quarterback Mike Vick out there, you know, leading your offense essentially, and kind of erasing Brown from that point as somebody who's going to get the ball to him. But Bell was a guy that can actually put the offense on his back, when the team was down, kind of like what you see with Adrian Peterson, or even like Todd Gurley does. And granted, the San Diego Chargers defense isn't anything to write home about, but
it's horrible.
I just wanted to make that point just to kind of counter that, that Bell can put the team on his back, especially when he is needed.
Listen, he can, absolutely. All I'm saying is, so can Todd Gurley. And it'd be nice to see Todd Gurley with another good player on the offense. I'm not, again, when I say that I'd rather have Todd Gurley than Le'Veon Bell, I'm not discounting how good Le'Veon Bell is. I think he's fantastic.
No, I love Le'Veon Bell. I think I've been pretty clear about that.
And there were the game that he had against the Chiefs, I thought was outstanding. He ran all over the Ravens. The Ravens, another team that kind of sucks on defense, but he's had some really good games this year. But all I'm saying is, I would just, if I had my preference, I would take Todd Gurley.
Here's what I would, the only thing I would say is if Todd Gurley were on the Steelers, would he do what Le'Veon Bell does?
If Adrian Peterson, they're very different players. I mean,
no, but,
Todd Gurley can catch the ball, but he doesn't catch the ball like Le'Veon.
No, Le'Veon Bell's terrific at both of those things. And again, I think he's a perfect fit for the Steelers, but if you put Todd Gurley on that team, I think he's even more effective because of all the weapons around him. I think Adrian Peterson would be even more effective. I don't know if they'd be significantly better or even measurably better, but if you put Le'Veon Bell on the Rams, is he going to be able to do the same thing? I don't know. And I love him. Don't get me wrong. I really do think he is. And if you've listened to the show for a while, I was hammering last year that he should be MVP, and nobody listened to me. Because he was terrific.
Rodgers played too.
Well,
ruined things.
But DeMarco Murray was getting all this love, and it's like, well, wait a minute.
I would have taken.
But look at what Le'Veon Bell did—not just running the ball, but receiving the ball. And again, those two guys deservedly won the awards they got. But I would have, my vote would have gone for Bell last year. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'd rather have him on my team than Todd Gurley or Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Let's try Jonathan. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey guys, sports.
Sports to you, man.
Love the show, long-time listener. I had a question. Do you think that T.J. Yates is going to start the rest of the year? And if he does, what do you think the odds that he gets us our next playoff win?
Okay. Do we think T.J. Yates is going to start the rest of the year?
suspect with the second concussion for Brian Hoyer, TJ Yates is probably your guy moving forward.
I think TJ Yates is the guy going forward unless Brian Hoyer passes concussion protocol and can get out there and, and give it a shot.
But,
because I think O'Brien feels very comfortable with Brian Hoyer. That's the guy he would prefer to have out there. But if Brian Hoyer can't get his brain unscrambled.
Yeah, and you have to be very concerned about two of them this close together.
No doubt.
And at this point, I think you need to worry about this guy's health and his future as much as, oh, let's rush him back out there.
Now, you also have to take into consideration this line is not very good right now.
Right. And the bottom line is, if they lose Sunday, it doesn't matter. You won't see Brian Hoyer again because you won't need to.
And you should.
Season's over.
Right.
And if they win, well, TJ Yates just led you to your first win in Indianapolis. And you're iffy on Hoyer, you'd probably stick with Yates, at least until he starts screwing up, and then you'd bring Hoyer back in if he's okay. But I do think moving forward, yeah, you're probably going to see TJ Yates for one of those two reasons. And then, you know, as far as the first playoff win, I think if they get to the playoffs and Brian Hoyer's healthy, Brian Hoyer's your quarterback.
Right.
Okay. Lamont brings up something that we started to talk about yesterday. And we are going to finish this conversation.
The Arian Foster talk?
The Arian Foster talk.
Okay. Looking forward to getting
into that.
We will
do that when we return. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.
All right, guys. Christmas right around the corner. And you want to get something that's going to make her happy. You want to get something that's going to make you happy in the process. That's where Pajamagram comes in. They've got all kinds of styles of pajamas for anyone in your life. But if you're looking for your lady, they've got a ton of great stuff that's going to make her happy. They've got the world-famous Hoodie Footy, first of all, which is something that's going to get her warm head to toe. And it's hard to get her, you know, hot if she's not warm, you know, if you know what I'm saying. And that's where the Hoodie Footy comes in. Head to toe warmth means she'll be ready to go in no time. If that's not your thing, though, you can unzip that and have her wear the sexy midnight fantasy underneath. The sweet and sexy gift set, which includes both the sexy midnight fantasy and the Hoodie Footy, something for both of you. You buy both today at pajamagram.com. You'll save $60. You don't have to gift wrap because everything that Pajamagram sends out includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Make it a Hoodie Footy holiday. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It's our last toy drop of the year. Join us at Neighbors Emergency Center Saturday. We'll be at the location in Bel Air on South Rice from 2 until 4. We'll take donations of unwrapped, unopened toys for the Toys for Tots drive. While you're there, make sure to enter to win an autographed Dwight Howard jersey. Help us bring joy to all Houston Tots this year.
We're at $600.
All right.
Boom, boom.
So $600 is the bid, and that is for four club seat tickets to see UH and Florida State. And all that money is going to go to Toys for Tots. So whatever you wind up bidding on it, 713-780-3776 if you want to do that, which is very cool. And one more time, I want to thank Gus at No Label for bringing me my birthday. This has been the best birthday ever. This is the best beer birthday ever from what all you guys got me.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Between you and Jong and between and Gus, my goodness, I am set. This is going to be a great weekend. If I don't die tomorrow in this stupid race,
then we didn't do our job.
That's right.
Well, no. You did your job. It's just if I die beforehand, I'm going to have a lot of great beer that's going to go to nobody.
Oh, you're not drinking all this tonight.
No, I'm having this one little glass right here. I'm gonna have one glass later with Whole Foods, and that's it. And then tomorrow after the race, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna go downtown and get tore up, and then go home and drink beer all night.
You're gonna do that after you go out?
Yes.
Oh my!
I'm gonna be absolutely nuked.
You monster!
And then Sunday I'll be at the Junction from 12 to 2 watching the Texans. So come join me on West Gray. That'll be fun. Emilio says, just got out of jail in time to wish Fred a happy birthday. Anything significant happened in sports since Tuesday? Not really, but glad you're out, buddy. Somebody says, stat last night, Mike Evans leads the league in drops. How are our tight ends not at the top?
Shocker.
Nate Washington actually is way up there, too.
Man, Mike Evans, he is so talented.
He is. At
all the things you want out of a wide receiver, except the ability to catch the ball.
Yeah, the hands are not where they should be. Which,
and I don't feel like that was a problem when he was an Aggie.
No, and they shouldn't. I mean, he's got monster hands, and I just think it's a concentration thing. And we see that with, you know, Terrell Owens did that at times early in his career. I think this kid's going to be special. I really do. He'll get past that. And
I mean, he gets open all the time.
Yeah.
It's so easy for him to create separation, and he's so big. He's very fast. He's got crisp routes.
I'm just telling you, young,
can't hold the ball.
Young T.O. You go back and look at it.
I don't want to put that on the man. But.
No, but I mean, I see some of that in him. And if he can learn to catch the football, he's going to put up some sick numbers. Okay, 512, if you're serious about that flight, email me at fowler975@gmail.com.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. You ready to talk Arian
Let's
Foster?
Let's do this.
So here's the deal. We have been saying that at the end of this season, we assume Arian Foster is no longer with the Texans, right?
Well, he certainly will not be back at the salary that he's due, because there is no way that you're bringing a guy back off of multiple injuries at his age for a massive cap hit.
Yeah, the cap hit next year, 9.3 milli. Dead money, 2.3.
Yeah, and so basically, if you whack him, you're saving $7 million.
Right.
That gives you $7 million to go get somebody else. You can get a pretty damn good running back for $7 million.
So here's just a few of the names. And I don't know where the market's going to be like for running backs this offseason. I mean, there's several guys that are going to be available for less than $7 million. The list of free agent running backs this offseason, I'll start at the guy with the, I don't know. I would say this is the guy that'll demand the most money, but I'm not sure that's the case because he's 30 years old, but he's the most accomplished back on this list is Matt Forte. He's 30 years old. He'll be the same age as Arian next year.
I prefer him to Arian, but at 30 years old, I'm not giving a guy a big contract.
I'm feeling the same. And you know how I feel about running back contracts.
Well, running backs in general, I know how you feel about it.
I don't pay those guys.
To me, it's Logan's Run. You turn 30, you're dead.
Yeah. Chris Ivory. 27 years old, he will be a free agent. He's had a really good season with the Jets. May have earned himself more than what he's making right now, which is $2.75 million.
I think he has earned more than that. I also think he's a perfect fit for where he is. I don't know that he'd be as effective somewhere else.
Reggie Bush, 30 years old.
No, thanks.
Doug Martin will be a free agent. Doug Martin is a guy who could...
He who does not like to be called muscle hamster.
The season he's having, though, he's probably going to command quite a bit.
He's going to get paid. I'm sure the Bucs are going to spend a bunch of money to keep him. I think he's one of those guys that I'd like to have him, but not for what it would cost me.
Here's another guy that I'd like to have, but probably not for what it would cost you. Lamar Miller, who's 24 years old. He's ready for his payday.
He's going to get paid, too.
He's going to get paid more than I would want to pay if I'm not the Dolphins.
I hate to say this, but almost every name you're going to throw out there, I'm not going to want them at the price they're going to command, because unless the running back market is not what we think it's going to be.
Right.
Which sometimes happens. But if they're getting LeSean McCoy money, DeMarco Murray money, which these guys might get next year because they're free agents, I don't want them.
Here's some of the other names. Bilal Powell.
No, thanks.
James Starks, 29 years old.
At an affordable contract, I wouldn't mind that.
Okay.
And I think he will be affordable.
Right, but he could also be affordable and stay in Green Bay.
And he probably will stay in Green Bay.
That's the best place to be for him, I think.
Yeah, and I think, keep in mind, most of these guys are probably going to stay where they are.
Alfred Morris, 27 years old.
I don't know if he's a fit here.
Okay. Lance Dunbar, do anything for you?
No.
Steven Ridley?
Not really.
LeGarrette Blount's 29 years old.
He's going to wind up staying with the Patriots.
And that's another guy who's probably better off where he is. Chris Johnson, 30 years old.
No thanks at this point. You had a chance to bring him in. And again, I don't know that he would be done as much as what he's done in Arizona. They're a better football team.
Okay, here's the last two names that I find interesting. They're both 24 years old.
Okay.
They both play for the same team right now. C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman.
Anderson can't stay healthy. Hillman has moments, but and they're both in an offense where they should be able to run the ball much better than they have. I think I'll pass on them,
okay,
too.
Well, what's the number then that you are...
Well, here's the problem. And I think as far as the draft goes, there's only two names out there that really jump at you, and I don't like one of them. And I'm not sure about Ezekiel Elliott either. But I think what that brings me to is, all right, do you bring Arian Foster back on a smaller contract? And the first question is, do you think Arian Foster would command Doug Martin money at 30 years old off these injuries on the free agent market?
If he does, you say thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Because honestly, and listen, I mean, let's face it. The Texans aren't a team right now that is an Arian Foster away from being a champion.
No, they're Arian Foster and a quarterback at least. Maybe a couple other places too, but that would be a big start.
So, to me, if you can get Arian Foster for really cheap, which I don't think you'll be able to. I think somebody out there is willing to pay a guy like that. You do it.
I don't know.
Otherwise, man, I'll take a risk on one of these guys in the draft. And I mean, I think for the most part, there's only two guys, like you mentioned, that are even going to be in consideration for first round picks, I believe, Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry is probably a borderline first round guy. Zeke Elliott's probably available where the Texans will pick. So that one is interesting.
It depends on, to me, it depends on what you're doing with the quarterback position, though.
I like the kid from Notre Dame, Precise. I think the guy from, what's the kid from Arkansas's name? Alex Collins is a good player. You know, there's players out there. I think Trey Madden from USC is good. I don't know if there are players that are franchise, you know, changing running backs, but I don't know if that's what you need, right?
Well, keeping in mind the way O'Brien does things where he trots out a different running back pretty much every game anyway, I don't know. And I have to admit, this is not a year where I've seen a lot of guys that I thought, man, that guy would be really good in the NFL, and he's probably going to go later in the draft. I'll throw a name out there that probably goes mid-round that I think might be good, like okay. Kenneth Dixon, Louisiana Tech.
I like him.
But I don't see a lot of guys like that. Usually I've got three or four that I really like.
Kenneth Dixon I like, but you know, I like a running back who's probably about 6 foot tall. I like the big guys.
He's a little shorter than that, but he's a big dude.
Yeah.
And he's stocky. So.
But I do like that player.
Well, Ryan says, Logan's Run was one of his favorite movies. I heard there was going to be a remake with Ryan Gosling, but I guess not. I heard that too, that they were going to make a remake of that.
The fact that I can't think of any, I can't think of very many of these running backs that I'm interested
in. But you know what? You also have to keep in mind that maybe DeMarco Murray's cut, and he's available. There's going to be guys like that, just like Arian Foster, who become cap casualties that you might want to take a look at.
But I'm just not interested in bringing back Arian Foster, I don't think. The guy has not proven that he can stay healthy. I mean, this is the investment in that guy has been too high for what the payoff has been.
Agreed. So, yeah, so what about Nick Chubb? I don't think he's eligible until...
No, yeah, he's not.
He's got another year. Yeah. All right.
Same with Fournette. Those guys would be great.
Yeah, but you know what? Those guys will be gone before the Texans pick.
Yep.
All right. Quick break.
I say draft a running back second, third, fourth round. Start working them in. Draft two of them. Do what the Packers did a while back.
You know what? I would be okay if they drafted two quarterbacks and two running backs in the first four
find
rounds.
One.
And find somebody that works. I'd be totally fine with that. Because you're going to screw those picks up anyway. Yep. You might as well take a shot, right? Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.